Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Some stories that I read, whether fiction or nonfiction, are complex because there's really a story within a story. And at times when a narrative becomes very thick and complex, I have to get out a piece of paper, jot down the main character's name so I don't lose track of who's who. We have in our gospel reading for this morning from Matthew 9, a story within a story. A miracle followed by another miracle. While our Lord is en route to the man's house whose daughter is dead, he encounters a woman in desperate need of his rescue and help. This passage shows both Christ's humanity and deity, and it shows that Christ is sovereign over sickness and death. So my first point is Christ ministers to a woman. It's easy to gloss over this woman's dilemma and not really think about how difficult her life was. It's actually one of our challenges as Christians when we read a story so familiar to us, we forget about placing ourselves in her shoes and thinking about how tough life really was for her. So here we hear these words in Matthew 9, 20 through 22. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, if only I touch his garment, I will get well. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well. In the Old Testament, a hemorrhage caused defilement, which imposed religious and social restrictions. In the Old Testament, if a woman had an issue of blood, they were not allowed to enter the temple. Socially, they were not allowed to touch anyone, because in doing so, you made that person unclean. Which means for 12 years, she was not allowed to touch anyone. If she was married, she wasn't allowed to hug her husband. If she had children, she couldn't hug them. Even if she wasn't married, she couldn't hug a brother or a sister or a sibling or a mother or father. It also means she probably was hesitant about going to the marketplace for fear that she would accidentally brush against someone. And really, who wants to go to the marketplace and announce, unclean, unclean, don't get anywhere near me? You talk about isolation and alienation from people socially and even religiously for over a decade. This woman was so desperate. And Mark's gospel gives further details about this woman, that she had endured much at the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. She spends everything she has, and instead of even being the same, she had gotten worse. So this rounds out her multiple layers of desperation. Socially and religiously isolated, financially strapped, and whose physical health had only grown worse. This suffering woman, accounting herself unclean, nevertheless does not allow herself to avoid Jesus. She does not allow herself to be stuck in her hopeless condition, but instead discreetly comes to the Lord for healing. And in Mark's gospel, again, after the Lord notices that power has gone out from him, he asks, who touched me? And of course, the disciples say, come on, you've got a crowd around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Somebody could accidentally bumped into you a dozen times. And yet Jesus knows better. He knows somebody touched him for the express purpose of being healed. And so with some trepidation, the woman confesses that she touched Jesus, believing that she would be healed. The reason I included the Old Testament reading with this gospel reading is that the two passages act as promise and fulfillment. Malachi 4:2 gives the promise which many rabbis and Jewish scholars considered a messianic promise. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Notice the wording again. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. I believe the rabbis and the Jewish scholars were right to see this fulfilled in the life of Messiah, who was here called the Son of Righteousness. In the Septuagint, a Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, it translates the word wings as the same Greek word used in Matthew 9:20, the fringe of his garment, the wings of his garment. This is referring to the fringe or edge of a person's cloak or garment, the tassels of Jesus' garment. In Numbers 15:38, the law of Moses ordered that the tassel be attached to each corner of an outer garment of the sons of Israel. Numbers 15:38 says this, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue." So Jesus, as a Son of Righteousness, came with healing in the wings of his garment, in the fringe of his garment. And this woman wanted to privately just touch not Jesus himself, but the edge of his clothing, with faith that that would heal her. This woman's faith was so great that Jesus commends her and tells her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." And at once, the woman was made well. She felt within her body something had changed. The woman came to Jesus for healing with a mixture of apprehension and faith. And Jesus, with mercy and compassion, tells the woman, "Take courage." In other words, fear not. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. I love you. And I've relieved you from your 12 years of suffering. This shows not only that Jesus has a human body which can be touched, our Lord also has human emotions, for he was moved with compassion for this daughter of Israel. She may have been avoided by her fellow Jews and even looked down upon because they felt like she had brought this affliction upon her. But Jesus had mercy on her. In fact, the same word healed can also mean save or deliver. And that is what Jesus did for her. By healing her, he saved and delivered her, for she trusted in Jesus as the one who was able to overcome sickness. He was and is sovereign over sickness because he is God. To sum up Christ's ministry to this woman, Jesus tells her to be of good cheer because her faith in the Lord, which was the gift of God's grace, was upon her. He corrects her thinking, for neither could she hide her touch of Christ's garment and somehow think that this would be a private miracle that only she knew about. But instead, the Lord commends her for her faith and exhibits her faith to all so that they and we may imitate her faith in the Lord. Authority over life and death is in the hand of God alone, and it's God's prerogative alone to heal. Our Lord Jesus Christ is of the same substance and essence of God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ thus has authority to heal this woman because he is fully God and fully man. The healing of this woman shows evidence of Christ's power to not only heal, but to cleanse. She was able to touch Christ at the edge of his garment, and she was healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that also teaches us, for all of us who have bodily ailments that last well more than 12 years, that we too, even if we're not healed in this life, we will be healed at the resurrection. And our bodies will be in pristine form. Somebody once asked me, at the resurrection, will our body be like that of a teenager or a 20-year-old? My only answer is, I don't know, but it's going to be in our prime. There ain't going to be no arthritis in heaven, brothers and sisters. No more knees to be replaced. No more stuffed sinuses. No more fevers. We will be healed by God Almighty once and for all at the resurrection. And for that, we look forward to. Now I move on to the even greater miracle. Christ ministers to the young girl and by extension also to the girl's father. The father had made this request of Jesus at the beginning of this passage, where he said, while he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. I marvel at this man's faith. His daughter is already dead. He not only believed that the Lord has power to heal people who are sick, but he also has power to raise the dead, particularly his daughter. Let's pick up again with what happens later in this passage. As Jesus enters the house of the synagogue ruler, he saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder. The Jewish people during this time actually paid people to come and mourn and to sing at the burial and funeral of a loved one. The idea of a paid musical mourner seems kind of strange to us, but that's what they did. They paid people to sing sad songs and to mourn at a funeral and burial. And so the people are there grieving. Next, we come to Jesus' words in Matthew 9:24, where he said to the whole gathered crowd, leave, for the girl is not dead, has not died, but is asleep. And the crowd's reaction is, they just laughed at him with scorn, like, you don't even know what you're talking about. She's not taking a nap, she's dead. On the face of it, it sounds like Jesus is denying that the girl has died, but is only sleeping. The people listening to Jesus certainly reacted with sarcasm and mockery because they didn't truly understand Jesus' real meaning of it, the real meaning of his words. Jesus did not mean he thought the girl was taking a nap. For in John 11, Jesus also uses similar language to Lazarus, who has already died, as one who is sleeping. Instead, what Jesus really means is this. In the presence of the Lord of life, death is no more final nor irreversible than slumber. When we read of our Lord's miracle of restoring this young girl to life, we hear these words in Matthew 9:25-26. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all that land. The Lord, in his compassion, raises the girl from the dead. Every miracle of raising somebody from the dead in the Gospels is a foreshadowing of Christ's own resurrection, with this key difference. People such as this daughter and later on in the raising of Lazarus were raised to life, but then died a second time. Whereas Christ was raised from the dead and he is alive forevermore. His resurrection is the foundation of all Christian believers being raised from the dead at the end of this age. In both of these miracles recorded in this passage, we see Christ's sovereignty over sickness and death. We see the humanity and the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has the power to heal our bodies and our souls. May we always look to him and depend on him as our great God and Savior. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with the Holy Spirit and strengthen us with your manifold gifts of grace, especially with the gifts of faith, hope, and love. Help us always to trust in you, to yield to you, and obey you as our God and Savior. These things we pray to you as our only mediator and redeemer. Amen.